Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. It says, His grace is sufficient for us. What a promise it is to remember that. When we are weak, we can be strong. We are strong because of Him. And I'm just so thankful for that truth and song tonight. Let's stand together. Isaiah chapter 21 in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 21. We're going to begin reading in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 6. It says, For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, there cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon has fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Let's pray, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to be able to come to church on a Wednesday night, Lord, to hear from you, and Lord, be encouraged, Lord, with those of the church to be able to pray for one another. And I pray that you would help us as we're here tonight, God, to be able to lay any distractions aside so we can receive, God, your engrafted word tonight. And I pray that you just bless us, use me. I ask this in your name, amen. You can be seated. We find this chapter of Isaiah to be recording a very difficult time in the history of the world. And the world at this time is in a great state of unrest. The Babylonian Empire is being attacked by the Assyrian Empire, and we're looking here at the fall of Babylon, and as we read it, we think that's a great thing. They held the Israelites captive, but the Israelites were in fear at this time, not sure what was going to happen. They knew how things were with the Babylonians. They were somewhat comfortable in the captivity that they were in. And to think of the Assyrians coming in from the north and taking over, things could get much worse for them. And there was great unrest with the Israelites. Many were hoping for Babylon to be able to win. They were fearing for their lives, wondering what would happen when they come through. And while all of this is going on, and while the children of Israel are in uncertainty and in fear, God commanded the prophet Isaiah to take the role of a watchman. And Isaiah has a job from the Lord to look into the prophetic future and tell the people what he sees approaching. And that's exactly what Isaiah does in this text. And what we see here was given 2,700 years ago, but it is very timely today, as we look at it for application for us. And, you know, we look at our political climate, we look at everything that came from the pandemic the last almost 2 years, we look at social justice issues and problems, we look at the economy, and we can look on the news and see all these things coming at us each and every day, and we see the influence of the world in the schools and the changing of the what is moral, what is immoral. Sin is rising in the world that we live in, war rages. You know, things that are acceptable now in our world are drastically different than the things that were acceptable not too long ago. And as Christians, as we look at all the things that are going on, we may feel overwhelmed as the Israelites were in this passage. We may feel unrest in our heart and uneasy at times, just as they were in Isaiah's day. And on the other side, there's Christians in the world that we live in that are not living as Christians should live. Today, just as there was in Isaiah's day, there's a need for people of God, to take the role of the watchman. There's a need for us in our own personal life, in our home, to take a stand, to look at what is approaching and open our mouth and sound warnings as a watchman should. And as we read this passage, you understand that we are living in dangerous days. We're living in a day spiritually where the enemy wants nothing more than to come in and to destroy us, to cause us to fall, to bring us down, to keep us from moving on for the Lord. And his desire is to see our ministries, our families, our relationships, our churches torn apart. That is exactly what the devil wants tonight. We're not necessarily going to look at expositor this whole passage tonight, but we're going to look at some things having to do with the watchman tonight, and I think some things that we can find here will be a help to you in taking the role of the watchman. The first thing we find very simply is just the duty of the watchman. We look there in verse 6, the Lord told him to go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. You know, during this time, if you were living in a city that was surrounded by walls, you were a very blessed individual. There's two forms of protection in one of those cities. First of all was the wall. It stood as a barrier between the citizens and their enemies. It stood as a example or a picture of secure and insecure. It stood as an example of comfortable and uncomfortable. The wall was a hard barrier for anyone to get through. We look at the Word of God as illustrations of this. I think we all would think of a city with a wall. One of those would be Jericho. And it was highly respected in that day, and it was one that people thought no one could ever overcome. Why? Because of the wall that it had. If you lived in a city with a wall, it was highly respected. It was something that many people wouldn't try to overcome, and that wall brought great protection. But the second form of protection in a city with a wall was the job of the watchman. The watchman was really essential to the success of the wall. You know, both the watchman and the wall were necessary to the survival of the city. Without the watchman, those inside the wall were blind to what was going on outside the wall. Without a wall, there's no need for a watchman. You know, verse 6 points out two duties of the watchman. The first one, very deep, he was to watch. Most important duty of the watchman was to watch. He was to stand in the tower or on the wall of the city and look out for anything that was coming their way that might be a threat to them, and to regularly report what he was seeing. If the watchman was in his post, he would be able to look out and he would see the desert there, and he could maybe see the shining of armor or the shining of weapons coming from a distance, or maybe he could see the stirring up of desert sands as a group was marching toward them, or he could see the waving of the war banners coming their way. The watchman, if he was doing his job right, could be able to see enemies coming from a great distance high above the land. He was to simply watch. But not only was he to watch, he was also supposed to warn. You know, whether the watchman would see anything or not, he was to report how things were outside the wall. Who was camping outside the wall at the time, or who was passing through. He was to continually update anyone inside the city that was curious, or the authorities of the city, what was going on outside. If trouble was to appear in the distance, the watchman would sound the warning and tell others what was coming so the people inside could prepare for the invasion, or the people outside the wall could make their way in to find refuge. His job was very important to warn. There's examples of this later in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. He says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet." It was an important thing for them to warn. The book of Hosea references the watchman was to set the trumpet to his mouth. He had a duty to watch and to warn. And if there was ever a time for Christians to assume the role of a watchman, if there was ever a need for the role of a watchman in the life of a Christian, it would be in the day and age that we live in. The church, the home, the family, the school, the community, the day for a watchman is long past, but it is now as well. You know, we need Christians with discernment who know the Word of God. Christians who understand who their enemy is, understanding what the enemy wants to do, that are willing to watch and warn others of what they see coming. You know, whether the news is good or bad, we need men and women who will look at the world around them and raise the warning to the unsaved, to the saved, of things we need to do for the Lord and how we are to live. You know, whether we notice it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, the enemy is doing everything he can right now to make his way in and invade the church. The devil wants nothing more than to hurt the way that the world views the Bible, and in particular that Christians view the Bible. We can look at what's happened the last year and a half in church attendance. You know, the devil has worked really hard, especially lately, to impact the way people view church and the importance of it. Many people, I praise the Lord, that isn't the case in our church. Many people are very comfortable not going to church that were going not so long ago. Satan wants to do what he can to change the songs that we sing and who the songs are lifting up. He wants to do everything he can to change the way that the Bible is interpreted and the way that the Bible is preached. And he is looking and trying to impact the churches of our country, the churches of our world, to water down the Word of God. Not only is the church under attack, but homes are under attack. You know, we live in a society where children are told they are to make the decisions for themselves when it comes to many areas of life, one of them gender. People they choose to love, not to submit to authority, that you are the king of your life, and husbands and wives are opening themselves up to all kinds of temptations and allowing themselves to seek things outside of marriage. It's becoming very normal for that to be the case, and that and doing things that God in no way intended an unmarried or a married person to do. Many Christian moms and dads are not doing the part that they should in consistent discipline in the home and speaking out when they need to speak out and correcting their children when they need to correct them and sometimes making hard choices and sounding the warning to your children even when it may upset them by making a decision that is best for them. When you think of many years ago, I remember my dad, when he would preach, would always bring up a Dr. Spock. You don't hear much about Dr. Spock anymore, but he led the way among child-rearing professionals and instructing parents not to discipline their children. He said doing so would damage the child's ego, and later in life he realized that was a mistake. And this is what he said. He said, "We have reared a generation of brats. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or incurring their resentment. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best of intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents." Those of you that understand the Word of God and pastors that preach the Word of God, while Spock was preaching and teaching this light discipline and not to hurt your child's ego, parents understood the Word of God says it has a purpose and it is what God intended. And from a mile away, those that knew the Word of God could see what would happen if we went away from what the Word of God says when it came to just simply raising your child and disciplining your child. Now we think of everything in our world today and all the things that are going wrong, all the things that are being taught and that are contrary to the Word of God. And let's picture 20, 30, 50 years out from now how things could be even more different and how people will realize mistakes that were made. Our responsibility as Christians is to live by the Word of God and encourage others to do the same. Amen. Those we have influence over, sound the warnings and help them do the same. Our community is declining. God is being pushed out of society and every area. People are working as hard as they can to get God out of government, out of the things of this world. The Christian nation that we live in is getting more and more comfortable deciding what things are moral and immoral instead of looking to the Word of God as our instruction. So the case for watchmen today is very real. But sadly, few are responding to the need of the watchmen. So see the duty, but let's see the habits of the watchman here in verse 7. It says, "And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed." Verse 7 says he saw. It says he hearkened diligently. Verse 8, it says, "And he cried, 'A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower of the daytime.'" He compared the way that he was watching to the way that a lion watches. In case you didn't know, lions have very short eyelids. Even when they're sleeping, it looks like they are watching. It has the appearance their eyes are open. Because of that, they're very alert. They are easily woken up. This watchman is saying, I have not left my post. I stayed there to make sure nothing occurred on the watch. He watched with diligence. Amen. He's always alert. You know, this watchman sets an example for those that need to be watchmen in our day. And we look at 1 Peter chapter 5 when it says, be sober, be vigilant. Be calm, be collected in spirit, be watchful, be waiting. Don't take a second off. Continue to watch and do what it is you're supposed to do. We must always be watching. Our life for Christ is too important for us to be taken out by things that if we were only watching out for our own spiritual life, things would have been okay. You know, when it comes to our children or those we have influence over, our spouse, we do not need to look the other way. We need to continue to watch out and protect them and warn them, not because we don't trust them, not because we don't love them, but because their spiritual life is way too important for us not to watch and help. When it comes to your spouse, encourage them in the things of God. Care enough about your relationship and care enough about your family to point out things that are red flags that they may not even see in their life. Warn them. In your own spiritual life, keep a lookout for the attacks the devil is going to try to bring because I assure you tonight, he will. He's a slick adversary, and the Bible speaks over and over again that he is going to do anything he can to deceive you, to trick you, to trap you if he can. And we need to watch because if we do not watch, we are giving the enemy the opportunity to creep in. If the watchman was to take just a half a day off for himself or to not care about his post as he should, that would give the enemy enough time to get as close as they could to where they would not be as prepared for the attack. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I don't need that, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Refuse to give so much as a foothold in your church, in your family, in your home, in your life. Don't allow him any ground to creep in. He not only watched with diligence, but he warned with passion. When this watchman saw trouble approaching, he didn't keep the message to himself. He didn't just write those things down, and maybe if he thought about it, remembered it later, he may mention it to somebody. He did his job sounding the warning. You know, as we watch the enemy approaching near the walls of our home and our church and our community, we have a responsibility to sound the warning tonight. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. You know, some people would say, you know, I've done that. I've tried to warn those I've loved. I've spoken out when I felt like I should. No one listens. What's the use in me doing it? You know, there's so many Christians that perform the duty of a watchman when it comes to watching. But when it comes to the other duty of the watchman to warn, you know, we pray. We pray for that person that we see these problems with. We hope that one day they'll turn back to the Lord. But many times we don't warn. We don't speak out when we should. We watch. We're very good at that. But we fail so many times to say things that need to be said. We fail to sound the warning and speak up in our home. We fail to speak up when it comes to our friends or in the school at conversations that should not be taking place. We fail to speak up in the life of those we have influence over. We must be passionate about warning against sin and against the attacks of the devil. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. It's his fault. He didn't listen to the warnings. He heard the sound of the trumpet and it took not warning. His blood shall not be upon shall be upon him, but he taketh the warning, but he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So many Christians have assumed the role of the watchman when it comes in their family life, and understand as a father and mother, you are to watch out for your children. As a Christian, you are to take a stand for the Lord. We are to witness to the lost. We are to tell them of who Jesus is and what he did for them. We are to warn those we care about, those that we would call close, and warn them of things in their life that the devil could use to take them. We understand our role to watch, but many of us have failed so often when it comes to bringing the warning. And the watchman that did not warn was at fault. You know, one day we're gonna see our Savior at the judgment seat of Christ. And when we do, we'll give an account of how well we raised the alarm and how well we lived for the Lord and took a stand as he had called us to do. We need to watch with diligence and warn with passion. And lastly tonight, we see the message of the watchman. Verse 11 says, the burden of doom, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night, if ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. You know, Isaiah is declaring the prophecy against the people of Edom there in verse 11 and 12. And there's a picture painted here of someone approaching the wall and saying, watchman, what of the night? I found out this last week, a lot of commentators like to argue about this picture that is painted here. Some believe that this picture is this question is brought from a careless heart. The person coming and talking to the watchman was asking with a voice of sarcasm, and the questioner wasn't really caring if he received an answer or not. He didn't plan to make any changes. He didn't plan to prepare for what was coming. Some believe that was the question. Others believe that it was asked from a bitter, hopeless heart. Someone that did care, but someone that cared so much and had been let down so many times and realized nothing they did really mattered. They were going to be overtaken anyways. No good would come if they went back to the Lord. They were bitter. They were hopeless, thinking nothing would change no matter what they did. But others believe this question was from a concerned heart. The questioner is asking, watchman, tell me, is everything okay? Are things going to be okay? When will the morning come? Is there hope for us? I believe that's the way the question was asked. I believe that's how it's intended. But regardless of the condition of the heart that asked, the watchman gave a three-part answer. It says there in verse 12, the watchman said, first of all, the morning cometh. He gave them hope. He encouraged. You know, night is the most frightening time of all. At our house with our five kids, we have an open door policy. If one of our kids is scared at night, they can come sleep with us and wet our bed. That's the policy. You know, my kids, they don't run to my room during the day, being scared. They always come at night. At night, the watchman couldn't see as well. People that were scared trying to get a view for themselves, they couldn't see the enemy as well. Many times the enemy could put the flame out or sneak up in a way. And the night was a more difficult time for the watchman. He needed to be more vigilant in his searching. Night was a time that brought fear. But when the watchman turned to this person and spoke the phrase, "The morning cometh," that brought hope. I want to tell you tonight, no matter how bad things could get for us, morning cometh. First of all, morning will definitely come for us one day. Either we die here on earth and go to heaven with Christ, or the rapture comes, we all go together. But whatever it is, one day we will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. He promised us he would come. He's told us what we can experience with him, and it's better than we could ever imagine. So no matter how bad it gets, just hang on, the morning cometh. There may be people tonight that are just tired, weary, worn down. The burden you're carrying is heavy. But morning cometh. That trial will end. There is help found in God. There is joy and rest found in God, and he can bring good out of this difficult time. I praise the Lord for the couple lessons we had in our Sunday school series we just finished. Good can come from bad. That watchman looked at this person asking the question, and he said, "The morning cometh." And then he said, so he was encouraging for a second, and then he said, "The morning cometh, and also the night." He tells the people that after the morning passes and after the sun comes up, it's going to go down again. We'll feel okay for a minute. We'll be secure for a minute. The night will come again. For the Christian, we understand that morning one day will be here permanently, but for the lost soul, it'll be a long night. Those of us that may be dealing with temptations or trials in our life, just because one temptation ends or one trial ends in your life, it doesn't mean that others won't eventually come again. It doesn't mean that we are exempt for a certain amount of months or a certain amount of years before another trial will come in our life. We understand that a man that is born full of days and full of trouble, just as it says in the book of Job, trials will come, difficult circumstances will come, sin will continue to infect our world and our society until the Lord comes back. There's a warning here that we must always be prepared. Never let our guard down. And then he exhorts. He says, "If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come." You know, the watchman is telling those that hear him to inquire, to return, and to come. He's calling the wayward ones back to God. He's saying that there is great danger on the horizon, but there's still time for you to make a change. Come to God, return to him. And that message they needed to hear in that day, and that is the message that still needs to be preached to those we are watching out for. Danger will always be on the horizon until we're in heaven. Temptations will be there, trials will be there, but it's never too late. You know, first of all, God is still saving souls. God is still seeking a relationship with you. Or if you are far from the Lord, if you have given in to your strongholds, if you've given in to those temptations, if that trial has been so heavy for a long time and you feel so far from God, he is waiting for you with open arms. No matter how bad the world may get, or no matter how far people may get from God, people are still in need of Christ. And there's a message that we as Christians need to go out and declare to the world. They need to hear the news that there is still hope. They can be saved if they just come. We return to God. Almost a year ago to the day, our family lost Norm McGath. I was just thinking of that today. Norm loved his family. And I remember shortly after the first great-grandchild was born, We would take our kids over, and we grew to five pretty quick, so we were over there quite a bit with new babies there for a while. But I remember as we went over there, it was something that we would all kind of laugh about. Norm would prepare for the kids that were coming, and he would kind of childproof the house. The pillows would be off of the couch. They'd be lined on the front of the fireplace, and there were locks, and he installed a high lock there at the basement door, so if the door was open, the door wouldn't be open, or they couldn't open on accident and fall down the stairs, and we would go down to the basement for a minute and try to come back up, and the door would be locked. We'd have to knock on the door to have somebody let us back in. Once the kids grew big enough to walk outside and to play, we would look out the window, and Norm was always there, following them any place they went, all over the property there, just making sure they were safe. When it come to the safety of my kids, anytime they're with them, he assumed the role of the watchman. You know, we laugh about that, and it's a great memory of us to have. But there's a lot more dangerous things than fireplaces and holes outside and basement stairs. And each and every one of us have people that are under our influence, people that we need to be praying for, people that God has given us authority over, that we need to help and lead and be a watchman over. And so many of us take a break from watching. So many of us have spent years watching and years praying, but we haven't sounded the warnings as we should. I just want to ask you, as we're closing tonight, where are the watchmen? Where's the watchman in your home? Who are the watchmen in this church and in your workplace? Are you doing everything you can tonight to watch out for and to comfort those looking for hope and exhort those that are headed to hell? Are we doing our part as the watchman? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar's open. We have a duty to watch and to warn. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for who you are. We pray that you'd bless this moment of invitation. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be serious about our duty as the watchmen, and we'd be committed, God, to watching out, Lord, for the attacks of the devil in our life and our family's life. In the lives of those we have influence over, those that we have impact on. God, I pray that we would be willing and committed, God, to sound the warnings when necessary. And bless this invitation. We ask this in your name.